How's it going today? All right.
Good. Yeah. Mondays are, you know, it's the day where sets the week for us. So everybody's here at the office. We're getting ready to go to a trade show on Friday in New York. So
okay,
a lot going on.
Beautiful. So you're prepping, you're getting the energy up. Everybody's excited, making sure everything's ready
it's
to go.
Been over there. We're done. We're good. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So you're still heading into the office every day.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Why? Well, not every day, but I do. Yeah. I mean, it's my company. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I say that because there's some people, they get out of one company and they start to get into other companies and they don't take the same effort and energy that they did in the first one to the second or the third or the fourth. And they slowly, you know, end up just saying they own the place or they run the place and they don't do any of the things that you would do if you did.
Right? No. In fact, I have more passion and more motivation with this particular company.
Cool. What? Why do you think that is?
Because it's all mine. I don't have a board of directors I have to answer to. I don't have, it's, you know, all women run. And it's my last hurrah.
Yeah. That's cool. What fires you up about it? Like this company, I mean, versus say some of the other projects and companies you've been involved with.
Well, because it's what I'm doing, no one really has done. It's, it's a really difficult, it's a big space as far as home pieces and the home goods space.
Mm.
But I treat it like fashion. So with my background and how I run, everything's done vertically. It takes a lot of energy to get the right team and to get the right potters and the right production. And we're ahead of the game because people are ordering stuff overseas.
Yeah, cool.
We're here. We got it. We're doing it here.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So for you, where'd you get the idea for this company in particular?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My son took me to a pottery class for my birthday and Mother's Day, which fall basically on the same day.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? This is awesome because I really thought it was really creative. And I was also building homes. And to stage the homes, I couldn't find, it was a really arduous process to find things that really all went together and all different vendors. And I said, I can do this from top to bottom. I can do this. I can get this done. And so when I opened up from my home, I opened up a pottery studio. My son said, why can't you just have a hobby? And I said, because it's not my personality. I turned it into a business.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a really interesting statement that you just made. Like you turn everything into a business. Is that how you see the world? Like you, when you see opportunity, you say that could be this. And then all of a sudden the vision starts to build. And
yeah, I mean, I even run my household like it's a business. I mean, everything, you know, your relationship, there's boundaries. There's certain things that, you know, make things easy, like organization is my biggest thing, from the refrigerator to the office.
And my wife will love you.
Yeah, right? I mean, seriously, I'm the most organized person. So I could close my eyes and I know where all the mustards are, or all, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
In the fridge, I know where all of the anything is. So I think if I see a really good idea or I don't see it in the marketplace, then I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you see a lot just being out there and you have all these ideas. How do you stay focused though? Like how to, you know, because the entrepreneurial mind can also deviate towards what is shiny and what is fresh and what is new.
That's a really good question. I'm really focused on whatever project I start. I mean, I self-fund my companies. So I think that when you're self-funding too, you've got to keep your, you know, the eye and the ball. You just, very focused with this company.
Yeah. What was your first entrepreneurial venture? Like even maybe one that nobody knows about that you just kind of said, I love business. I love entrepreneurship. What was it for you?
The first one was, I started selling what we call damages in the garment industry, where there's they're not perfect to ship. So I opened up swap meets, colleges, the boardwalk, and I was making like $50,000 a month.
Wow.
Like 19. I was in business school at the time.
Cool.
Getting my real estate license as well. And I thought, you buy something for five, you sell it for 20.
Yeah.
And I had them all running every weekend, set them all up. And so before you knew it, I bought my first house, my first building in Santa Monica.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Was there somebody in your family that was, you know, the business mind, or somebody that you looked up to at home, what, that that basically gave you this motivation or skill, or somebody that you learned from?
You know, it's quite the opposite, because I come from a family of doctors and lawyers.
Okay.
So for me to get into fashion was like, no, don't. Yeah, yeah.
You're like a renegade.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, no, I think because I had, like, my dad is still an attorney. He's like 80, still an attorney. And I'm thinking,
they don't quit. They don't quit, those attorneys.
They don't. He's got one of the largest personal injury firms in Los Angeles. Mm. And I think, God, how boring to do the same thing. So the thought of doing something, the same thing year after year, is so boring to me.
Yeah. So, you know, it segues into another question that I have. Like, so, you had that business, and then you segued out, and then you segued into something else, and then you segued into something else. Like, you know, there's a lot of segues there.
Well, I set up companies to sell.
Oh, so that's the, you know, behind the scenes, that's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. You know what I find interesting about that is, like, I set it up to sell, like, how you're so passionate about it, and then you get to that point of sale, and then you can just parlay that passion or start a new passion. That's not easy for a lot of people.
No, it's not. And I think the work ethic, I always say this one thing, passion. Because if you don't have the passion, you're not going to get up in the morning. You're not going to feel like, oh my God, it's like my trade show this Friday. Like, I get goosebumps. I've been doing trade shows for years and I'm still excited.
Yeah.
It's like the first time. So I love a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, building homes is a huge challenge. I like to do stuff that no one's done. I mean, I don't know where that comes from. I really don't.
Do you get the feeling ever of, like, worn down from transitioning from this to that, or do you strategically take time in between, or is your whole life based on just feel and instinct, and you know what I mean?
So I do take time. I mean, my biggest thing, or my biggest accomplishment, are my children, and now I have a grandchild. So
beautiful.
Thank you. So I feel like time and my relationship with my partner Marlon, that's really, really important. As far as business, if something doesn't go right, or if it fails, which usually doesn't happen, but it's not going to break my heart. So I think with my family, I keep that intact. I have three boys. They're incredible. Yeah. They're my best friends. And so that, to me, is my refuel.
Yeah. Which is, again, another great point, because so many people, they allow what's going on in the business to dictate how they feel. And they get so emotionally attached to outcomes, so emotionally attached to the day, that it just throws them all over the place. So again, another power point by you is, like, you don't get attached in that way.
I don't think you can get attached, because, again, you know, as a mother and now grandmother, I get very attached to the emotional part of what's really important.
Yeah.
It's my family, right? And so I think that people need to understand the difference between business and really, I mean, it doesn't give you a high five at night, does it? It doesn't cuddle you. It's a business.
Yeah.
There really shouldn't be, you know, you get emotional, but the decisions aren't based on emotions. Your business decisions are not based on emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. These are amazing points. Because, you know, you meet a lot of folks today, they feel like they have to cut something short. And usually it's their family that gets the short end of their stick. And they say, well, you know, I have to give all my attention, all my energy, all my passion towards my business, and whatever's left over, I'll give to, you know, these other folks.
No, it's so unfair. It's like, I had my kids, you know what I mean? They're my responsibility. I mean, they're young men now, but they're still, regardless, if I'm even on a Zoom right now, one of my kids calls, I'm going to say, excuse me, I have to pick it up.
Yeah.
I do. And they know it's one ring. It's one ring. It's right here. But I think the most important thing really is that, you know, with this particular business, because this is really important, I set it up where I just went to the south of France, and my team is so good that I didn't have to be here every day. I don't have to be here every day.
Okay. So here's a magic question. How do you do that? Like, how do you build a business where you can find or attract these types of folks? Is there something in particular that you're looking for? Is there a feel, something intuitive? What's the magic?
Very intuitive. It's, you know, and I think after over, you know, 35 years or well over, you know, that being in business and looking back from the mistakes when I hired somebody, I felt, shit, I should have listened to my intuition. There was some sort of energy. Mm. It's a communication that, you know, how they are in the interview, if they look you in the eye.
Yeah.
If they have a feeling of passion of where they're at, or if they're only here just to learn and leave, there's things that it's like, would you get into a relationship with somebody that you really don't like?
Nah, no, not a good idea.
This is a relationship. You see them every day. You've got to like them. You've got to like be respectful. I never ask anybody here to do something that I wouldn't do still.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. And so I make it it's very family oriented here.
How big is the team there?
Yeah. I have about 6 girls that work for me now who are on my team. I have about 15 outside potters. I have a whole shipping department. There's 4 people in there. And then I have in-house potters. There's about 6 of them.
Okay.
And we've only been in business 2 years, and we're hitting well over a million.
Wow. That's awesome. Super, super cool.
Super good.
What's the, you know, outside of the boards and things like that, what's the biggest difference between, you know, doing what you're doing now and say a true religion brand? I know it's a big difference, but
it's not that much of a difference, but I find that people in fashion were on such like a calendar. As soon as you're done this drop, like let's say I'm going to a trade show, we're 6 months in advance in fashion. This we can drop every other month. I treat it like a fashion business, like with the colors and when I go to trade shows. But it's not as the people in fashion are just not, they're cutthroat people.
Yeah. They're very calendar driven.
They're very calendar driven.
Yeah.
Very calendar driven. And for 30 years, you know, deadlines are really important, but it's not as strict in this particular business.
Yeah.
And the people are nice. Everybody's so nice.
Yeah. It's interesting though, too, because you said, you know, how detailed you are and how organized you are. I would think that the calendar driven part would actually, you know, gel with your personality. Or is it that or more the people?
It's more the people, but you know, I'm very organized and I like that. But what I have found that it became very stressful. You had to do a certain amount of SKUs. Mm. You had to, it was international business. It was True Religion. We had, you know, I was vice president. I opened up 300 stores. I was in charge of so much more as a public company. It was a whole different entity.
Yeah.
It's a whole different business.
Yeah. What was your original intent with True Religion, and then what's the original intent, you know, now with Style Union Home?
It's the same intention always.
Okay.
To make something that no one else has done and to sell it.
Yeah.
Same okay. thing. Same
cool.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, true religion is an anomaly. I mean, I don't think that a denim company now will be bought for close to $1 billion, but,
What was the it factor for that brand? Like, why do you think it just took off and went and just kept running?
Yeah, well, you know, we did a jean that no one had done before. It was fashion. I wanted to do a jean. I mean, I'm from Malibu, California. I'm a jean, yeah. jean and t-shirt girl.
Yep.
I couldn't find something that was sexy, right? Mm. It was all basic five pockets. It wasn't, didn't have stretch. It was rigid. It was the Levi jean, which I loved. I've been Levi girl. So I wanted to do something that made in America, made in LA.
Yeah.
I took Big Stitch. I did. We found a stretch that wasn't a four-way stretch. We did, created a stretch with a company called DuPont.
Okay.
And made it for women who were curvier, because skinny girls can wear whatever.
Mm.
So when you dress women, then it's, you're not isolated to a very specific demographic.
Yeah. And then the men grabbed a hold of it.
We started with men's first.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We started with men's first because women will wear their guys' jeans, like a cute little boyfriend jean.
Yeah.
But men won't wear women's jeans.
Mm.
So why
It's interesting because it was like, you know, I come from sports. So like, I remember just, you know, with the Yankees, I would see all these guys wearing True Religion jeans and then I would see their wives wearing the jeans too. So to that point, you know, they were like, you know, all the cool kids were wearing them.
Yeah. I mean, it really took off. I'm still surprised, believe it or not, that I still see people wearing it. And I was asked to consult and go back. I even had somebody who said, let me buy the company and have you run. I was like, no, I, you know, once the designer leaves, it's never the same. It's just, it's not the same brand.
Yeah. Okay. So here, I want to ask you this. Could somebody like you, let's say if you said, okay, I'm going to go back, like, could you have the same passion for that brand that you had back then? Or is it sort of fleeting as you move through your journey, it stays there and then it moves to the next thing?
Well, I am saddened, believe it or not. And I know I say there's not a lot of emotion in business, but now that I'm not there, I can detach my feelings and say, you know, it's sad about what happened to the company. It's sad that it wasn't taken care of.
Mm.
The way I would have taken, and that's what happens. You leave a brand and it's never taken care of the way the founder started.
Right.
So, you know, I went back and forth for a while and helped consult and, you know, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't even care how much money they were paying me. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Because it's never about the money for me, which is really interesting. Mm. Never. It's never been about the money.
So is it like the designer in you and the creator in you that's what geeks you out with all these brands? It's like you're like you're an artist and you're just creating.
But I have a business degree.
Yeah. But you know, business is an art form. I mean, I believe it. I mean, there's fundamentals to it, but the creativity and right. Or no?
I think a lot of designers or people who want to be, I guess, entrepreneurs. I hate when that word is thrown around because you got to do the work. And then I think you could call yourself an entrepreneur or put your own money in a business and make your mistakes. I believe that, but you wouldn't call yourself a doctor if you're not finished your degree or done the, you know, how I feel. But I think I don't know. Sorry, I went back to True Religion for a second and I totally lost my train of thought.
Okay, let me flip this. Are you more business?
Business.
Yeah, business.
So because I'm so creative, I can look at anything and go, I want to reshape that or do it this color. I had to massage my other part of the brain, my left side, to be business because I have found that people who invest in companies fire a creative or design because maybe they think they're paying them too much, or they can hire somebody else for less money. Or
right.
So you got to know your business. And the reason why it helps business if you're creative is because then you know how to cost your, you know how to cost, you know where to start from. If I want to retail it here, then what do I want to make it for? Or with clothing, okay, so if I want to make it for, let's just say $10, well, then the fabric has to cost a certain amount. The sewing, the, you know, the labor, packaging, commission, right? So you're not going to make something that you want to sell for $40 and make it for 40. You're going to make it for 10, sell it for 20, sell it for 40.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, and then people, if you want to sell your company, or if you want to find a, you know, a venture VC or something, they are going to be more interested in somebody, invest in somebody who knows their business.
Yeah.
Has the knowledge to navigate your business. You know?
Yeah. Do you think some creatives or designers get themselves in trouble because they get so hyper-focused on the design that they just let other people run with the business?
Oh my God. Yes. I've seen it so many times and it's painstaking.
Yeah.
It's like we were at a, I was at a, I was in a fashion show with at the time, True Religion, and there was a designer with me. I won't say his name. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant designer. And he was so hyper-focused on the model. And I said, no one's going to give a shit.
Yeah.
Go. It's like what you think, even though I'm very detail oriented, there's a time to go, let it go as a creative, let it go.
Yeah.
And business people think that way. Creatives don't, but can, you, creatives can design until they're like blue in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. If how has the landscape changed from when you started in business to today?
Oh, that's a great question. It's a completely different world.
Yeah.
We didn't have even e-commerce. We didn't have social media.
Right.
We didn't,
right.
There was no social media.
Crazy,
like
right?
Now it's like you could do business off of Instagram.
I know. It's wild.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I, you know, so I think that in some ways it's really good. In some ways I miss the old days.
Yeah.
Guerrilla marketing and having, going into the stores and brick and mortars and giving the girls the jeans and talking about it and having them feel the jeans and feel good. And now it's just like, there's none of that.
Yeah. They're like the brand customer relations are a bit different today. Well, sometimes probably non-existent, just digital relationships.
I can't even get somebody on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
I'm like, and then the customer service, if you want to chat, it's a bot, it's digital.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to explain what it is, and they're like, we don't understand, and then they go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. It's a different world, right? So I guess in hiring for you, it's also finding folks that are partnering with folks that have, you know, a true understanding of how all that works at a deep level.
Yes, but a part of me just wants to hire that. I hire people to do social media for me.
Yeah.
I the people that I have are very seasoned. Like we, the women here have been around. And so that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
How you communicate. Customer service being one of the most important things. My head of sales is like, knows every, we have like maybe 200 stores now and we do a lot of collabs. She has personal relationships with these people now.
Wow.
We don't sell anybody on the same street in any given city.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What would you say, you know, I always like to ask about like personal strengths and even personal weaknesses, because you got to know them and then you have to hire for them, I would think, right?
Yes, you certainly do.
So for you, what would you say, like in terms of your strengths? Like, I mean, obviously the organization, the details, you know, the personality.
Well, I've softened over the years.
You're a glamma now, you know?
I'm a
glamma.
I am, and they call me Goldie.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So Goldie. No, I haven't softened because of that. I've softened because you just have to trust things are going to get done.
Yeah.
I would be like, it has to be done today, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't have to be done today.
Yeah.
Because if you're working smart, it'll get done.
Yeah.
So my strengths, as my mom used to always say to me, she's never met anybody who could think of something and make it a big something.
Mm.
So it's from soup to nuts, is to making something come to fruition.
Yeah.
Like, not looking for a no, I'm looking for the yes, I'm going to get it done. Weakness is knowing what I don't want to do. I mean, I don't know if that's a weakness. No, see, I don't like to say that word.
I know. I actually love asking folks like you that question, and that word, it's like, it's almost like it's shredding. It's like, oh,
I mean, my weakness would be more of a personal thing that I'm just really hard on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's real.
I know. But I don't consider it a weakness. It's just part of who I am.
Yeah.
I think as you get older, you just kind of go, you become more accepting of the things that you would used to think is a weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but that's actually what's cool about you being in the entrepreneurial game for so long, is maybe some things that you maybe battled against as a younger lady, as you go through your journey, you're like, well, that's just who I am. Like, why am I trying to correct or navigate this? Like, I have to accept it.
Listen, my mom was a psychologist, and she used to say, she recently passed, and it's just been a really tough time, but she would say, wherever you go, there you are. So no matter, people try to escape stuff through work, or they try to escape stuff through whatever that is, it's everything is going to catch up with you. So you either accept it.
Yeah.
Or or if you want something to change, you change it. But for the most part, you know, really, it's like, we're not curing cancer here. You know, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Business is tough, but it should be fun.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, as many go through the journey, it's like the pressure starts to take them over, and then it's not fun anymore. And if it's not fun and you have high pressure, how much joy can you actually have? And what's the business actually going to do? Probably not what you want it to do.
No. I think my also, you know, back to a big thing with business, a big, 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 big thing that I would say is manifesting.
Mm.
It's very altruistic, but it's the truth. When I started, my head of sales, I said, okay, 5,000 a day. We're going to do 5,000 a day in sales. That's what we're going to do. And she felt a lot of pressure. I said, I'm not pressuring you. If you do a $25,000 sale, that's your week, right?
Yeah.
You're going to do $5,000 a day. That's, you know, what is it? That's $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's 1.2 a year business.
Right.
Right. So if you do 1.2 and your overhead is, you know, my overhead's about $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
You're in business.
Yeah, you got a little bit of space there.
You're in business.
Yeah.
Right. So now she's like, oh yeah, like last week or Friday, she goes, yeah, I just wrote 10,000. I said, it always comes nonchalant.
Yeah. You get used to it.
I'm just saying, they know I'm a manifester.
Yeah.
Whatever you put out there, I'm telling you, if I could say anything to anybody, is whatever you feel like you want to do, say it every single day.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So how do you manifest? Like, some people may say, all right, that's great, I've heard the word, I put it out there, but how do I know if what I'm putting out there, like, you know, I make $100,000 a year right now, I want to make 10 million. Am I just putting 10 million out there? I mean, how do I do it?
Well, the intention is, I mean, that's sales. It's very specific.
Yep.
And how do you do that? okay, well, if I want to do $5,000 a day, okay, mm-hmm. at minimum, I've got to call the retailers. I got to send out my lookbooks. I've got to, there's things that you have to do. It's not like I'm just going to do $10 million. It's very, very laser focused, very specific.
Yeah.
Right? So if I want to lose 10 pounds, I just don't manifest it. I do the work to lose the 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So every day, I want to do $5,000 a day. I want to do $5,000 a day. Are we doing what it takes to do $5,000 a day?
Yeah.
It's very specific. It's not like you just have to do the work.
Yeah. I think that's what it always comes down to. You have to do the work.
You have to do the work.
Yeah.
But I work out every day. I'm 56. I work out every day.
Cool.
And I think, how am I going to, I want to have the body that I want, that I was, you know, when I was, you know, I've worked out my whole life. Do you think I'm just going to expect to have that body if I don't do the work?
Right. Yeah.
Why do I have a trainer? I run. It's very specific how I eat. So it's just the work. So people go, oh, I don't know why I don't have this. You don't have it because you're focusing on the negative.
Yeah.
So true.
Which is like, you know, when somebody is setting out to build a business, or they have a business that's going right now, like, you know, you've sold a business for a large sum, but is that the goal that somebody should have? Like, I want to sell something for this much, right? I mean, like what, I think today most people throw around $100 million like it's $5, right? The way they speak about it, and I'm going to build this $100 million company or this, right? But,
you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, I don't normally tell people that's what I do. It just seems that companies before True Religion, I sell them. I have been, you know, offered, you know, times and said, no, let me build it. Let me go further. I don't want to sell it. Mm. So it's not always the goal. It's what's happened because I've had so many businesses and I know how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think people, I mean, listen, if you're funding your own company and you want to build a business and somebody comes in and it's, you know, let's say you do $5 million a year, that's a very sustainable business. Low overhead, if you do low overhead, that, and you can self-fund your business if you keep putting the money back in and you're very aware and mindful of your overhead.
Yeah.
And your costs, it's business. If I do $5 million a year and I have really great partnerships, I'm in Nordstrom's, we have partnerships with private air companies and things like that, and someone's going to offer me 15 times what I'm shipping a year and the growth that is expected in the next five and pay me
bye, right? I got to go.
Well, they're gonna keep me, and I'm gonna consult. And why not?
Yeah. I just, you know, I brought it up because, you know, today it's like when I listen to some folks talk about business, especially young startup entrepreneurs. A lot of them don't invest their own money. They're constantly looking to raise and use the house's money, so they have a different kind of pain than somebody that puts it all on black, you know, and says, well, if I lose this, there's going to be some real consequences. So I'm not going to lose it.
That's the part of it. So when I started True Religion, we were $250,000 in debt. I had to sell the house. You know, I had three kids. It was tough for a while with three kids. You know, three little kids. And so I think a VC too, if you're trying to raise funds, VCs look at you putting in your own skin in the game. Why, if you're not going to invest in yourself, why should somebody else invest in you?
Right. Yeah.
It's, you know, so like I said, okay, so if I lose a business or I lose some money, okay, it sucks. But did anybody get hurt?
Mm.
did my kids get hurt? Did my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to take the risk.
Is that fearlessness, we'll say, just like a part of your personality, like where you just, you know, it's like, just, hey, let's go for it and we'll take a shot and we'll do our best. We'll work our butts off.
Oh, yeah. Because I hate being a woulda, shoulda, coulda girl.
Yeah.
Like if I was that way, I wouldn't build houses from scratch.
Mm.
It was, you know, it's a little nutty, but it's a challenge. And I said that earlier, it's like, I would rather die trying than not do it at all.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Something inside of you has to be lit up and just, you know, you're in that flow state when you're doing these things, and it's fun, it's fresh, it's a new brand, it's something new to talk about. It's right. There's right. just, it's constant personal innovation and brand innovation and people yeah. innovation. It's, I mean, you have a reason to get up every day.
I mean, I have many reasons to get up.
Yeah.
Just one of them. And I just think when you see something that you sketch and design and in a medium that I never worked with, being clay, and it comes out and you're like, God, that's amazing. And then you sell a shitload of them.
Yeah.
It feels good. It feels like, wow, you know, this is awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, a medium I've never worked with before, but you weren't afraid to work with it. You're like, all right, that's cool. I never worked with it. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. Let's make it great. As opposed to, you know, the mentality of like, oh, I have to learn about this first and then I'll be able to do something with it. Or I got to get really.
Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, I opened up my own studio at home and it wasn't, I knew it wasn't going to be a hobby, but I still treat it like fashion. I do my boards, I do my sketching. We do development, you know, and I have about, let's see, my space is, God, if you saw my space, it's like 9,000 square feet here next door. And I built it out. So it's all glass and metal and you can see through the whole building.
Oh, very nice. Very cool.
Barn doors. I mean, you can see here, it looks glass, but it's all the way through. You could see all the potters. It's like making pizza. You could see everything being done.
That's very cool. Yeah. That you could, you know what? It's like inspiration every time you walk in. It's like, that's the product. That's it's happening. It's real.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Very, very creative and very cool. For someone that I have just two more questions I want to ask you. For someone that's starting a brand today, looking to build a brand today, you know, what advice would you have for them? It's a very open question, but you know, somebody that's either a lacking confidence or what would you give to them?
You know, is to know your business before you start, like to really understand what you're getting into. If you just think I'm going to go into business and it's going to work, read as much as you can. If you don't have a degree, it's business 101.
Yeah.
Start there. Do what, let's say you're making t-shirts. How much is the fabric? How much is it going to cost to get made? How many do you want to, you know, what's your overhead? Where are you working out of? It's very basic. It's like building a house, right? You've got your foundation. You want to build the house. What are you building?
Yeah.
It's got to be in front of you. What are you doing?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So, okay. I like that. So last question I have is, I call this the Becoming a Champion show. I feel like everybody's working hard to become their champion self, become the best at something. What does the word champion mean to you?
I think a champion is somebody who can speak to anybody with dignity and respect through whatever is happening in their life.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that.
Mm.
I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind. I'm sure there's plenty of other things.
Yeah, but it says something about the person. There's something within that person for them to be able to do that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, this was awesome. Very cool. So I'll share this with you personally. I love to do this because I love to go back and really break down and listen to all the key concepts and points that are made here. And then share them with people and say, hey, you know, I was talking with Kim and this is something she shared that can help you. So I appreciate you sharing all these great lessons, because they're going to go a long way. And there's somebody that needed to hear something that you said today. And that's the thing that gets them to their next move.
I know. I love it, because I do mentor a lot of people. Because I think that is what you have to do. If you're successful, even if you're not, whatever success means to anybody, but if you have something to give back, that is the obligation.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Because, you know, you may fuel somebody's confidence in that moment and they say, I'm going for it.
Great.
You know, or I'm in a brand right now and I'm, you know, I felt like I had to stay here forever. And I heard Kim say that I can pivot. I can go to something new. I'm done with this. I want to take my passion.
Pivot. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I want to take my passion somewhere else.
I think if you are working in a company and you don't like the brand that you're at, whatever, learn as much as you can regardless.
Yeah.
And just save your money if that's something that you feel you want to do. But I think, as opposed to being negative where you are, learn as much as you can where you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Manifest that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, the manifesting, that's a whole nother. I mean, that's maybe there's a program in the future that, you know, Kim and manifesting, you put it out there.
Okay, if people could just say that, but, you know, years of practice, it works.
Yeah. Do you give it a certain amount of time per day? Is it, or is it just, you know, all day?
No, it just lives with me all day. What do I want to do today? This is it. Like, I think what's interesting is that I have never not worked out. I've never not done something that makes me feel good, feel better health-wise.
Yep.
And that's just, what do I want in life? It's just, that's what you do.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I make sure, the thing about this company, my company too, is that everybody talks to each other with dignity and respect. Nobody talks badly about each other.
Yeah.
It's very important.
That's great culture, right? Companies today, they spend billions of dollars trying to improve culture.
It's crazy. I had somebody here who said, everybody's so nice here. And I said, why wouldn't they? Were shocked.
Yeah.
Anyway, crazy, this was, right? An absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Likewise. I really enjoyed this as well. So thank you so much. And
anytime.
I'll be following your journey as well. So thank you. Thank you so much, and keep doing awesome stuff.
Thank you. I like the American flag in back. It's very cool.
Thank you. I will talk to you soon, Kim. Thanks again.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.